Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Elevate your bedroom with our fresh new bedding designs and colours. In store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, you're very welcome to Liveline. People voted no in their droves. That's what today's programme is about, asking listeners, voters, who haven't been on the air, obviously, be they politicians, journalists, trade unionists, campaigners, activists, why you voted no. It's very straightforward. Why you voted no in either one or indeed both referendums. OK, we've asked people to send in voice messages. Very straightforward. It's a WhatsApp voice message. You want your WhatsApp. Hopefully you already have it in. It's 087-4848-888. 087-4848-888. 4848888, and you just record your message, and we'll try and get them up on air as quickly as possible. Here's four of them to get you going, and why these people voted, these listeners, these citizens, these voters, why they voted no.
Hey Joe, so I voted no for various reasons. I just thought, number one, I didn't think that anything wasn't clear and it wasn't explained to me properly. I just thought that it was pointless. And even ministers coming out afterwards saying that we didn't explain it properly, he actually did. You know, and just people didn't want it, and just, you know, there's a serious disconnect between what goes on in Leinster House with people like government ministers around the cabinet table. There's a serious disconnect with what, and NGOs, and until they kind of see, you know, that they can't keep talking down to people, well then, to be honest, they're on a hiding to nothing.
Hi Joe, I voted no in the family referendum because I don't know what a durable relationship is. Also, I think people make a decision to get married, and likewise some people choose not to get married. And for the Oireachtas to think that they can make laws that would bestow the rights and obligations and benefits of being married on a couple or a family who have deliberately chosen not to get married is incredibly unfair and unwise. Also, as regards the care referendum, I also voted no because as a mother, I think it is hugely important that the most important document in the country mentions the word mother. And while the language is clunky and certainly outdated, the sentiment is really good.
Voted no, Joe. In relation to the family referendum, because there was no concept of what a durable relationship is, when it would start, when it would end, how many durable relationships you could have, how many different people you could have a durable relationship is. It was a mad idea. In relation to the care referendum, as it was called, voted no again because didn't see anything at all wrong with having a reference to women and mothers in the Constitution. Sure, don't they deserve it? It was badly thought out business, those two referendums.
I voted no because the wording was so vague, and barristers and lawyers that were against it, and they were the people that would benefit the most from litigation if it went through. So that was my reasoning for voting no.
Four very different voices there, pointless disconnect with the population, the fact that all, obviously, that would show that all the political parties bar ain't to not only supported the yes, but wouldn't even allow, give the necessary votes for a discussion on the wording when it came up. So it didn't get the 10 votes necessary to discuss the wording. Women matters, mothers matters, badly thought out, and then the bonanza for the legal profession. Whether you agree or disagree, by the way, it's very straightforward, sending a WhatsApp voice message. You go into your WhatsApp, you press the small microphone, you record your message, and you can listen back to your message, and then you send it to the number, and the number is 087-4848-888. 087-4848-888. 0818-715-815 is open. 51551 is open. Geraldine, why did you vote no?
I voted no for the reason that lots of people voted no. If people in the voicemails there, the durable relationship completely undefined. Removing mothers from the Constitution made absolutely no sense. There were lots of amendments I could have agreed with. I think there are lots of amendments people could have gone with. These weren't them.
And did you waver, or were you no from the get-go?
Well, at the start, what happened was it was brought to my attention, and it was brought to my attention by people who were concerned. They were saying that this doesn't look as straightforward as the as it's being presented as, this kind of very glossy yes, yes campaign. Everything's very sewn up. But it was the appeals to emotion all the time that kind of got me. I wanted facts, not appeals to emotion. We're talking about the law, you know. So all this talk about, oh, if you were compassionate and generous, you would do it. That kind of put my back up straight away and made me want to know, like, what are the real facts? That's how I vote. I don't vote based on emotion.
Did you get your brochure from the Electoral Commission?
I did not. So I went looking online for the information. I went on the Electoral Commission website.
Because that was response to the Electoral Commission, when, because it came up here quite a lot. People weren't getting this expensive brochure, which argued yes or no in both languages, our first language and English as well then. But, excuse me, the point being made by Justice Baker was you could go online, but a lot of people in the country can't go online for a start.
I don't think it should be up to us.
Go to your local library or post office. That presumes more other stuff as well. But anyway, you didn't get it. You didn't waver. Was there one particular article, debate, discussion, radio, television, social media, whatever, that concretized your no-no position, or maybe doubted your no-no?
No, there were a lot of different things that I've seen being raised on Twitter. There was lots of things I was getting in WhatsApp groups with friends and women that I'm in communication with, all raising questions and points of views that hadn't even occurred to me. And that's why I think so many people are saying there's various reasons, because there were so many holes to be poked in these amendments that there was always a new angle coming up. Somebody was always going to tell you a story that was new to you, but that made a lot of sense. And it made you concerned for it. So I was solidified in my own opinion, and I was only strengthened then by hearing about other people's ideas.
Okay, now the other thing, Geraldine, did you tell your friends, I'm intrigued by you saying your WhatsApp group, because remember the opinion polls right up to the end were telling us that the vote was going to be in almost the diametrically opposite direction. In other words, it was going to be 2-1 in favour of yes, rather than 2-1 and 3-1 in favour of no, which was the outturn. Were you okay about telling your friends I'm voting no in a WhatsApp group? Or were you wary? Were you treading on eggshells?
No, a lot of people feel like they're treading on eggshells. And when I said to people I'm no, they said, oh good, I can talk to you about it. Because I feel like I'm treading on eggshells with other people. I feel like we're told there's one right answer to this, and that anything else, you know, is somehow very backward or very insular, not progressive, or not, you know, it's very unkind, all this kind of thing. So I personally didn't feel like that, but I know a lot of people did. And when I was reading the opinion polls and looking at them, it was puzzling that I was hearing person to person, no, and seeing, you know, and seeing this big glossy yes, yes everywhere. It did seem a disparity. And I was hopeful for the result, but I was still extremely surprised.
Okay. Thanks, Geraldine. 0818 715 815. If you want to send a WhatsApp voice message, please do on 087 4848 888 and 51551 for your texts. Karen Delaney. Karen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Did you vote no?
I did, yes. I when this was announced last year, I think, or whenever they said there was going to be a referendum on this, I was so delighted because I really, I'm a great supporter of inclusiveness. And to me, a family is a family. It doesn't matter, you know, whether it's seen it perceived as the traditional family, mother, father, children, or whether it's two gentlemen or two ladies or whether, you know, or a cohabitating couple, it's a family. So I embraced the fact that we were going to finally be able to have a vote on this. Mm-hmm. And then when this came out, I mean, it just seemed to come straight out of the blue in the last couple of weeks. And when I heard the wording, I couldn't make head nor tail of it. Now, I come from, I've worked for solicitors when I did work. Okay. So I'd be quite used to legal jargon. Okay. But this just seemed, and, you know, I said, what in God's name? And you asked your previous caller there about was there any defining moments that really, and there were two for me. And one would have been about 2 weeks ago, and I caught an interview with Michael McDowell on RTÉ News.
Yeah.
And he was advocating him. Now, while I wouldn't have any affiliation with what parties he has been involved in or anything, as a barrister and as a former Attorney General, it made me sit up and really think.
Okay.
And the next one then was last, I think it was Tuesday evening, on Drive Time, Alan Shatter was on, and again, a well-known former Fine Gael, and I think a Minister for Justice.
Yes.
But a foremost family law solicitor in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has written numerous books on family law. And he was coming out, and I thought, well, at that point I had made up my mind, I was doing no, no. But he really solidified that this was not the way to go.
And it's interesting that you were swayed, as I think a lot of people were, by the legal arguments. And Michael McDowell did not wear, everyone, and remember every programme, including this one, which can be very difficult to organise in a live programme. And I specifically, when people were on, as they are anyway, talking about their caring scenario and those stories are absolutely horrific. I had to say to people, please do not tell me what way you're voting in the referendum, because if they said you were voting yes or voting no, I would immediately have to try and get someone, or we would immediately have to try and get someone on to give the counter argument. So I deliberately didn't ask that, though the stories in themselves were telling a story about the treatment of carers. But that's a regular on Liveline, and we're privileged that people use that platform. And Michael McDowell was wearing his legal hat in many of the arguments, wasn't he?
Yes, and I think when you broke it down to the pure legality of it, I just felt, I mean, durable relationship, I would have a totally different interpretation of what that meant than you would. Your wife might have a different interpretation. My husband, and a judge will have a different interpretation. And every single judge in the country would have a different interpretation.
Well, remember, the chairperson of the Electoral Commission, Justice Mary Baker, said, I think it was the first press conference, they said two things. One, every day, we have to treat every day as April Fool's Day. I don't know what that meant, but anyway. And then the second thing was a durable relationship if you got a Christmas card together or if you were invited to a wedding together.
But this is it. I mean, it was just the most bizarre. And for the present Minister of Justice to come out and say that they deliberately left it vague. I mean, mother of look, do you know what? I just feel that they don't know what they're doing.
And Karen, what do you think of the way it was framed? That this is a country that voted for divorce. This is a country that voted for same-sex marriage before any other country. This is a country that voted for limited abortion. We did vote for abortion. So on the one hand, you have these three, what would be regarded as progressive.
I think we are a progressive country. I think since Saturday, the no vote has been hijacked by a certain section of our society, framing it that we are returning to our traditionalist views. I don't think that's right. I think most people would have voted yes.
Well, you're right, because the numbers speak for themselves. The reality is that a significant number of people who voted yes in the divorce, same-sex marriage and abortion, they're not sequential, obviously, who voted yes, voted no on Friday.
Absolutely. And I mean, by voting yes, particularly in the same-sex marriage referendum, obviously, I would have deduced from that we were voting to include those in the terms of family.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
Okay, but you're no, and you voted no, and you haven't wavered even since even after the discussions of the weekend, and even though you people you believe are hijacking the no, but you know why you did, Karen. Okay, Karen Delaney, Gurumila Margot. Now 51551 is the text. Joe at RTÉ.ie, the simple email, and 08 for the WhatsApp voice message, 0874848888, and that's a good way, a quick way of getting your point on. James Smith, you were no, why?
Hi, Joe. Well, there was two reasons for my no. First one for the care amendment was that I'm a former carer, for my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the way it was being framed to me, you know, that the state wouldn't really have like a hands-off approach to care.
Okay.
I couldn't in good conscience now go with that. Simply because putting it, you know, onto the family, you know, especially even if those people out there that don't have any family, you know, there to care for them. I mean, what are they going to do, you know? I mean, you know, we're all citizens of the country, and, you know, it's a basic human right that if you're not able to look after yourself, then surely the state will come in and help care for you in your hour of need.
And even though there was a significant number, including carers, who were in favour of the yes vote on the carers referendum. Tom Clonan being on Equality Not Caring was a group that was no as well. Even though there was a split in the disability, if you can use that phrase, community, so to speak, and you still went no. You still went no.
I did, Joe, and I had my mind made up about that amendment before. I had my mind made up before the other one.
So what swayed you on the durable relationships amendment?
Well, after reading all the electoral commission leaflets and listening to radio debates and the likes and seeing online, you know, different debates and opinions, I was still none the wiser about the wording, to be honest.
And what did you think of the electoral commission brochure?
Well, I read it, but compared to other leaflets that they've produced for previous referendums, it didn't really explain anything to me, to be quite honest.
But they're working with their argument is we were working with the wording we were given.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. I think the wording was the problem.
Okay, were you aware of that statement by the chairperson of the Electoral Commission that a durable relationship could be if you got a Christmas card together or invited to a wedding together?
Yeah, well, again, that's only confusing people more, Joe. That's, you know, that's, I don't know where that comes from, to be honest. And if someone can explain it to me, then, you know, I'd be happy to listen, but I still don't understand. I looked at it again after I voted, and even on Saturday, and I still couldn't understand the wording of it.
Even though you'd heard a lot, you'd read a lot. James, and the question I asked Karen there about, you know, the previous three, because we were told if we vote no, when we wake up on Saturday morning, we will be the laughing stock of Europe or whatever. But this is the same country that voted for divorce, same-sex marriage before anyone else, and abortion. Do you see that as a contradiction, or you see that as perfectly the perfect result from a sophisticated electorate?
I see it as a result of the Irish people exercising their democratic right to vote yes or no to a referenda, and if they have any doubts about those amendments, then they've obviously rejected them because they just don't understand or they have an issue with the way it was worded or whatever.
Did you talk about what way you were going to vote with your friends, James, with your family and your friends?
I did, and I talked to other people who are actual carers at the moment going through that
process. Well, given, I'm going back to the opinion polls, given that the majority in all the opinion polls it was the exact opposite result, yes. Were you nervous about broaching the subject that you were voting no?
I wasn't, Joe, no, because the carers I spoke to were very much of a no as well.
Okay.
As regards to the family referendum, it could have been a little bit undecided, but certainly on the care, they were adamant.
Adamant. Okay, good. Know. I mean, we've got James Smith, Joe at RT.ie. 51551 is the text. We want to know why you voted no. either in both, in one or both of the referendums on Friday. Not why you voted yes or whatever, or anything that happened after the referendum, anything you heard. We just want to know why you voted no. And don't be worried if you've already heard the reason. Every discussion has its own nuances, and every opinion is valid as far as Liveline is concerned, once you stay within the borders of the libel laws. Back after this, the WhatsApp voice message 087-4848-888.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe at RT.ie want to know why you voted no in one or both. Colette, call for Colette, good afternoon. Why did you vote no?
Hi, Joe. I voted no. My main reason to vote no on the care amendment was about motherhood. I don't think, you know, there's a quest for gender neutral language and the idea that if it's gender neutral, it will be gender equal. But motherhood is not gender neutral. I mean, it's women who go through pregnancy, labour, symphysiotomy, cervical smears, menstruation, miscarriages, menopause. And in the UK, when they tried to change language and maternity ward to make it gender neutral, they called mothers clients. And even in Ireland, the HSE in 2019, they decided it was a good idea to have gender neutral language on cervical smears. And instead of saying women, they said anyone with a cervix. So how did
that play into your no vote? How did that play into what you were being asked to put your ex on Friday?
I want mothers to be acknowledged in the Constitution, and I think it's really important. I would have welcomed if fathers were included, but I do think it's really important that we acknowledge that it's mothers who go through all of these things, and this has an impact not just physically but socially and culturally too. I mean, even in terms of lone parent families, 86% of lone parent families are headed by women or in 2016 in the census. And the other, like, durable relationships, let's be honest, nobody had a clue what it was. To me, it was nonsense. A woman said she had a durable relationship with her toaster. I was chatting with a woman who I didn't know in a cafe one day, and she said, "Oh, next thing, I'll be having a durable relationship with my cat." So there was just so much confusion about that. I couldn't. And I would have welcomed acknowledgement and inclusion of single parent families in that. But the other thing is, some people don't want to be treated as, you know, to have a relationship and for it to be treated on a par with marriage. I've had durable relationships. I'd be horrified to think of them, you know, to be treated on a par with marriage. So there has to be a distinction, and I think it's important that we have that distinction.
And when you say, when you say treated on a par with marriage, do you mean legally? Do you mean those issues that were raised about inheritance and succession and wills and...
Oh, sure. Listen, there were so many questions. Nobody knew what was going to be the implications, because families are given rights. So if a durable relationship was going to be recognised as being founded on, you know, if a family was going to be recognised as one that was founded on a durable relationship, we needed to know what that meant. We needed to know what were the implications for tax, welfare, pensions, inheritance, assets,
guardianship. Well, you were persistently told by the political parties, which was Everton bar one, who were all campaigned for yes, you were told that the current equality laws, for example, the current succession laws, would still stand, even if durable went into the Constitution. Now, the Constitution is the supreme document. Every law is subservient to the Constitution, and if the Constitution changes, well, then each law could be tested in light of the new wording or whatever. But were you convinced at all nothing will really
absolutely
change? Because
not. Even Marie Baker said, chair of the Electoral Commission, she said it was going to be up to the courts to decide. And Micheál Martin was asked on primetime if there was a child who was in foster care, would that relationship between the child and parent be considered a durable relationship? Mm-hmm. And Micheál Martin said, it's up to the courts. And in European law, durable relationships are between, in a relationship that is akin to a marriage. So that didn't make sense then. How could single parent families be included? And if single parent families were included, did that mean durable relationships wouldn't necessarily be sexual relationships? So therefore, could it be between friends? Friends can get married, for example. You know, the two men who got married.
A marriage is not necessarily a sexual relationship, Colette, either.
Yeah, absolutely. But and in fact, that's the point I was saying, that there was the two men who got married for the purposes of the inheritance tax. Mm-hmm. So if two friends can get
which
married,
which was perfectly legal, and what they did
absolutely.
Was perfectly legal.
Yes, but then I've got lots of friends. I don't want them to be considered, you know, durable relationships.
So why not? How would it bother you in that sense?
Well, say now I had a house. I owned it outright.
Okay.
So it's an imaginary world. And say now I had a friend who needed a place to stay for a few months or a few years and moved in with me. And there is no sexual relationship.
Okay.
And after a few years, the friend moves out, or I ask them to move out.
And
could they claim it to have been a durable relationship? I don't know. Didn't know.
And because they used to pay half the ESB bill. You actually got their name on the ESB bill because you went away. Okay.
Yeah, and so, the other thing was, I mean, I had an issue with the fact that there was no pre-legislative scrutiny, which I don't even fully understand exactly what that means, but I know it lacked something.
Well, it was guillotined. But
guillotine.
Yeah, it was guillotine. This Michael McDowell kept making this point, but it was guillotine. There was a vote, but you needed more than 10 votes to get a debate, and they couldn't muster 10 votes, which means all the parties, Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, PBP, with the exception of Aintu, obviously, voted not wouldn't give it the get it over the 10 votes to facilitate a debate. But the other argument is there was no point in it because the government had the majority and they would have put it through anyway. Well, how soon on Saturday morning did you realise you were in the Count Centre in Waterford?
I took part in a few debates. I loved the debates and the conversations, and it's just been fabulous to see people openly discussing different issues.
But at what time did you realise it was gone?
So I got into the Count Centre at 9 and I was there for the first boxes open. The first box was spilled out onto the table in front of me, and straight away all I could see, I was looking at the white papers and it was just like, no, 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 no. I couldn't believe it. I was stunned. I went
I'll leave it at that. And in my case, it was about 20 past nine, half nine, when I saw Kevin Humphreys on Twitter with the photograph. There was actually two photographs, one from Dublin, one from outside Dublin, and both of them on both referendums were no, no, no. And I actually rang a few people to say it looks like it's all over. It's all over. Sarah Holmes. Sarah, good afternoon. Sorry for holding you. Joe at rt.ie 0818 715 815. Why did you vote no? Caroline, or Sarah, why did you vote no?
Hi, Joe. So I had lots and lots of reasons. I might start with the main one. For me, it was being sold to us as something which was going to rid the Constitution of sexist language. So if you heard all of the politicians, you know, they were mentioning, you know, get rid of the sexist language. This is the only way to do it. The National Women's Council, every NGO that was talking about this were saying it was going to rid us of sexist language. Well, I actually got the Constitution out and I had a read of it. And there are 6 female references in the Constitution. And the word women is twice. The word woman is once. Mother is once. And her is there twice. And this change would have reduced that from 6 to 3. Meanwhile, there are over 100 references which are male language, including when it comes to property ownership, only the word man is used. When it comes to president, judge, minister, only the word man is used. So it was a complete lie. And so I lost trust very early on. I said, how can you claim, if you're going to spend 20-odd million making changes to the Constitution, how can you claim that you're ridding it of sexist language when the gulf between male and female recognition within the Constitution is actually going to widen? And so from that point then, I started digging deeper. I saw, you know, the FOI wasn't released, the meeting minutes from the internal meetings, the guillotining of the pre-legislative scrutiny. And so, you know, for me, it was just a lie. It just wasn't true. It was going to just, you know, for me, they're trying to get rid of the word mother. The word mother was going to be gone. And I see it as a pattern, part of a bigger pattern over the last few years. I think one of your earlier callers said it. where, you know, the word woman was removed from cervical screening literature and person with a cervix came in. Meanwhile, the word man for prostate cancer was never touched. So there's a consistent attack on female language in policy, in law, across government and NGOs. The male language is left untouched, and you couldn't have, if you were really making about sexism, you couldn't have a more sexist constitution. How did the National Women's Council not raise a flag around the fact that only men are mentioned in terms of property ownership? So it was just a lie, Joe. The whole thing was a lie.
Okay. And you voted no, obviously, but the argument, it's not just in this country, but the argument is that there are now people who are born of one sex who identify as mm-hmm. another, and we should be inclusive and facilitate. Not we. There's no royal we, because they mm-hmm. Everyone is part of the we. But those who are not trans should live and let live.
So,
what's the big deal?
So, again, why was the word mother being removed, but the word father was remaining? The word father, the word man, he, him, his, there's over 100 references. So I just don't buy the inclusive language or the removal of sexism, because it's only ever in one direction. Consistently, it's women, it's mothers. Mm-hmm. And last year, Roderick O'Gorman tried to get the word mother out of the Maternity Act. Again, you know, if it wasn't for grassroots feminists, women like myself, literally bombarding them with emails and phone calls, he would have succeeded. And I was part of the campaign back in 2020 okay. to get the word woman put back into the HSC screening literature. Because, and I think what happened on Friday is, across the country, grassroots women have been talking at the school gates, in the supermarket, in work, in the boardroom, and they're sick of it, Joe. They're sick of being told they have to think a certain way, that they're not progressive if they cherish motherhood. And you know, as for this, the wording, they could have removed the word duty. So they could have made a change.
Okay.
That
do you see it, Sarah? Do you see it as anachronistic? Because one of the things we were told, we'd be, whatever the phrase was, the laughing stock or ashamed on Saturday morning if we voted no. Do you see the no vote? How do you see it sitting in? Or is it anachronistic to the yes to divorce, yes to a limited abortion, and yes to same sex marriage?
Everyone I know that voted no, and there's lots of people like myself, was in favour of the previous referendums. So I think over the past 4 or 5 years, something has shifted in government.
Okay. Did you get electoral commission? Well, it's,
I did. Well,
you did get it. Yeah. And how did you find that brochure?
I found it informative, but you know, when I listened to commentators like Michael McDougall, I really got an understanding of the risk that was being injected into it. Look, I think they were tinkering with something which you shouldn't tinker with. They weren't giving any new rights.
Were you aware of the phrase "a Christmas card together" and being invited to a wedding together as
I heard that,
from the Electoral Commission as being evidence of a durable relationship?
Yeah, and at that point, I think everyone was like, this is nonsense, right?
Okay. Leave it at that, Sarah. Sarah Wicklow, Anne Duffy. Anne, sorry for holding you. And why did you vote? Did you vote no or no yes? Which way?
I'm a no. Yeah.
Okay.
I put another no on that. No.
No, nay, never no more. Okay,
no,
Anne.
Never
tell us why you're a no.
So I'm a no on the first one because of the wooliness of durable.
Okay.
I'm nervous, so just bear with me, but I am a person with a disability, so I'm a no on the care bit, because mm-hmm. a number of different things are happening all at the same time here. One is that we're moving into the RHA, the regional health area shifts from the HSE, which has a huge emphasis on community care for people with disabilities or people with any kind of additional need for care.
Okay.
The second referendum also is placing that fundamentally at the feet of family and community.
Yeah.
And the third one is gone because I'm nervous, but fundamentally it just doesn't... the other thing is they haven't signed up to the optional protocol on the United Nations Declaration for Rights of People with Disability, which doesn't give me, as a person with a disability,
and
the right to take my concern to United Nations.
Were you at all swayed? Because the Minister for Social Welfare, who was the Fine Gael director of the referendum campaigns, Heather Humphreys, she said at one stage that if the care referendum was passed, there would be more money for carers.
I'm not buying it. Here's why I'm not buying it, because carers are not cared about, but also people with disabilities are not cared about. I don't have the same human rights as everybody, as my equal citizens who are not living with, you know, chronic illness or disability. So giving more money to carers doesn't actually answer the question of who is fundamentally responsible for providing that care, which I think is society as a whole, as I did when I was a person who could. Mm-hmm. It's laying it at families, and families are where most abuse happens, elder abuse, abuse of people with disability. Okay. I'm not saying that happens all the time, but it just fuzzes over so much of what is actually the responsibility of the state. And we also have, at the same time, the disability reform green paper, where they're looking at reviewing the ways in which disability and illness payments are made, which, when they're talking about dividing people into three tiers, and in doing that, they've done what they call run the rule over 1,000 cases and found that only 16% would be unable at all to work, and the other 84% of us would be either somewhat or completely able to work, when we've already proved by definition and consultant letters and all the rest of it that we're not able to. So it's very concerning to me that the RHA moves the care still definitively into family and community. The green paper says I'm more able for work than I am, and this amendment puts care on family. There's nowhere in that that I see myself as a fully competent, articulate, able to contribute to society like everybody else.
Okay, that should not be dependent on family, if you're lucky enough to have family.
And not everybody does.
Of course. Were you aware of Heather Humphrey's point that if it was a vote yes, there would be more money for carers, which beggars the point?
Yes, but I don't need carers. I need fully paid up with equal pay to the HSE PAs who come into my house, not people who are paid less because they come through the IWA than through the HSE.
And we've had for a long time now harrowing, including during the referendum. But as I say, I asked people not to give they weren't ringing in about the referendum. They were ringing in about, generated by other stories, about their position as carers and how little money. And also we had it about 8 months
it's
ago.
Outrageous.
Carers who were being offered, when they did the means test, they were being offered €5 a week in a check. €5 a week from the state.
They are also talking about raising the age of eligibility for disability allowance from 16 to 18 under the auspices that it will encourage younger people to stay in school. But the flip side of that is that at 17 years old, you can qualify to be a deciding officer within the department without any requirement to have disability or equality training. And the medical assessors are also not required to have disability and equality experience.
Okay, and thanks indeed. That's Anne Duffy in County Meath. 51551, the WhatsApp voice message, 087-4848-888, and here are a few more voice messages.
Hi there, Joe. I hadn't a notion what was happening. I always thought that I would vote yes. And then I listened to Michael McDool, and he made such sense. And yeah, I realised that I was voting yes because I just like to go with the crowd. So anyway, I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't. And thanks, Michael McDool.
I voted no because, having studied the referendum changes, the proposed changes, and listening to all the debates on television and radio over the previous few weeks, I made an informed decision to vote no. And I certainly, like one of the other messengers, I certainly wasn't confused. I was very clear. I think, if anything, the government were confused. I just thank God for the Senate, because it was really the Senate that gave an alternative position. The no side had a very weak backing, but the campaign that they put forward was just terrific.
Hi, Joe. I felt that the durable marriage idea was too airy-fairy. I think that in a society, the best stability for a society comes from a married unit, a married family, whether it be gay or otherwise. I think this durable relationship demeaned that idea of that and took away that stability. So I voted no on that basis.
Hi, Joe. I voted no to both questions on the referendum. Durable relationship, I don't actually know what that means. it's so open-ended that effectively I think anybody could come into this country, and I have an issue with that. Second, I don't think it actually protected carers at all. I think people who advocated against it seemed to know what they were talking about, whereas the government hadn't a clue.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And for your quick WhatsApp message, 087 4848 888. Gay Brocklesby, Gay, sorry for holding you there. Why did you vote no?
Well, from the very beginning, as far as I was concerned, I got onto the referendum commission as soon as the thing was announced and the text was delivered. And I asked them, could they please tell me what does that text mean? What exactly was a durable relationship? And why would it not include polygamy? They didn't ring me back for about 8 days, it turned out. I asked them, exactly when did I ring you? And they could tell me that I rang them and asked specific questions 8 days beforehand. And I said, well, why did you not ring me back? It's a ridiculous length of time to leave me.
Yeah, but why?
We had to think how we'd answer your questions, which I thought I was chuffed, I have to say.
And how did they answer
because
your question,
Dave? I've lived in Pakistan and places like that, and I saw Roderick O'Gorman being asked by, in the Doyle, by T.D. McNamara from County Clare, and he was asked, what about polygamy? And Roderick O'Gorman said, oh, no, they are not durable relationships. Well, they certainly are. People are as married in those countries where you have polygamy as you are in any other country. Of course they're durable. And he got away with that, and despite that the County Clare T.D. asked him several times, he got away with it. And do you think any journalist commented on that? Not one. I wrote to all, including yourselves, but I also wrote to the various news programmes, Primetime and the rest of it. Very few people mentioned polygamy. Well, there was nothing. Durable relationships, it had to be based on, don't forget. More than one. And I asked, could you be in a marriage and a durable relationship at the same time?
Polygamy was already illegal in Irish law.
No, hold on. It wasn't. You couldn't have a marriage with more than two people. Of course you couldn't have polygamy, but now you're going to have a family on durable relationships.
And your point is, I'm sorry, I don't mean to put it that way, but the point I made earlier, that everything is subservient to Bunrock na hÉireann, and it is the ultimate decider of our laws in terms
of... But we're not talking about marriages in the second of durable relationship. We're going to produce a family based on durable relationships in the plural.
And that would have to be tested in the context of a new wording if the vote had been yes. Yes. Did you ever waver on no, Gay?
Not an inch. Because also I heard early on, I heard Tom Clonan, who spoke most movingly. Trinity had a wonderful public debate called Behind the Headlines. And he spoke... I never even thought about disabled people at all until he spoke about his daughter most movingly and said this is going to copper fasten the idea that he and his wife and his children, other children are responsible for looking after that person who's got special needs. I thought this is outrageous. It's going to copper fasten it. And nobody seems to care. And ever since I heard him speak, I immediately was absolutely
Gay, why would the opinion poll so wrong?
I'll tell you why, because I think all the journalists, I mean all, or virtually all the journalists on national media who comment on social issues are almost all female. If you look at them, the male ones talk about other political issues, but almost all of the issues and all our ideas are coming from this agenda, but women are being downtrodden. Now, I have another agenda, and that is that I'm female, of course, but that men are being downtrodden in all these issues. Did you ever hear a mention about single men with children? Every single mother, there's a single man out there with a child as well, don't forget. As if children fall from the sky and fall into the arms of a mother, and no man is needed. I can't understand this agenda, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. Women's rights come before everybody else's rights, and I think that's unjust. And I personally often speak at public occasions and meetings and discussions and things about the rights of men, which are never thought about.
But the vast
majority... And men as people, not as journalists, not as TDs or rich people, but as needy human beings who have issues like women do.
Well, do you think lone parents are worse off because of the vote on Friday?
No, I don't think the lone parents. And the point about I don't, because they get huge. That recent judgment, I can't think of the name of the family, but the family where the man got the widower's pension. Yeah, that idea. constantly, I asked the HSE even a long time ago, I'm involved with Muslims and immigrants at one time, refugees and all that sort of stuff, and I asked them what happens if somebody has, for example, multiple partners, and the same would be true of single mothers in a different way. And they said that if somebody came in here who was polygamous marriage, and I've known people in Ireland who have polygamy marriage, they allow one person to be classed as the wife because it's based on marriage of two people, and the other relatives, if they get into the country, for whatever reason, they're seen to be dependent relatives.
Relatives are primarily under 18. Some exceptions.
No, yes, I know they
21.
Are. But no, they do allow in older people sometimes too, like elderly aunts or grandmothers or that sort of person.
Okay, and as we heard, there is one case that's now going to the European court. But anyway, okay, Gabe, thanks indeed. That's Gabe Brock. It'll be Olive Cunningham is in Dublin 15. Why did you vote no, Olive?
On the issue of caring was my main reason for voting no. I'm 77 years old. I have cared for my husband up and until his recent death for 20 at least years. And now I'm in need of care. And I have one daughter in the country, a wonderful girl. And I have one son in Australia with two grandchildren. What does this suggest? I just don't understand, because I've no sisters, I've no brothers. Mm-hmm. Have I to chase after cousins and nephews that I hardly know, and nieces? And I have one sister, but she's equally in need, perhaps, into the future of care the way I am. I just feel that whilst I understand Tom Clonan's approach mm-hmm. and the reason for his approach, I understand that entirely. I am disabled insofar as the elderly were left in a dark place when IT became the way to go.
I
used to love the golden pages. It was dropped on my doorstep, okay. And that's the way I operated. But I've had to pull myself kicking and screaming into mm-hmm. having a bit of tech savvy. But like, for instance, the other day I got a text in from supposedly Panda saying, we have noticed that your card details are not correct. Now, I'm terrified to answer anything. I nearly knew it wasn't right because I've been recently on to Panda. But my point is, I need my daughter, and she's there for me. And it's terrific. I'm working well in unison. Okay. I recently broke my femur and spent a long time in hospital and in rehab. And I'm back at home. I'm walking around the house. I'm functioning. I cook a dinner. But I'm terrified to go out too far. So Orla does that for me.
So the carers, one is clear. You're clear on your no. What about the durable relationship? You voted no.
It was simply because the word durable was in it. What the hell did it mean? And the word strive drove me mad.
That was in the second.
I mean, And okay. I'd have no objection whatsoever to families that are in a unit and have children and need as much as any married couple need. I would have no problem with that. But how dare they come and not come to your door and explain to us what those words mean?
Did you get the leaflet from the Electoral Commission?
I did. Okay. I did.
Did anyone knock on your door canvassing?
Absolutely not.
And I asked
absolutely not.
Regardless of what people were on for in the last 3 weeks, I asked callers without asking them nay or nay, did anyone knock? Quite a significant number didn't get the leaflet, but maybe that changed in the few days leading up to. And I also asked, had anyone knocked on the door? Not one single caller from any part of the country in the 3 weeks leading up in the referendum had anyone knock on their hall door. And then the other, I take on board, because you're reminding me, the first debate we had around this referendum, rather than the issues in the referendum, was about 6 weeks ago, when one of our callers spotted that there was documents from the Department of Local Government and from County Council stating categorically that even if you were on the register of electors, you had to re-register with your PPS number and other detail. You had to re-register. It was as clear as day. And then that afternoon, the Department of Local Government took that out. But what happened then is the Electoral Commission were asked about it the following, at their first press conference, and they said, oh, this was an issue that was raised by a radio programme. It wasn't. It was an issue raised on a radio programme, and the issue was based on the document, state documentation. We did not, our listener did not make up that particular point about having to re-register.
Take into account anything anybody rings into a radio station outlet.
Yeah, well, and the other thing on the day comes back, it speaks to what you're saying about everything is online. We asked the Register of Electors, what do you do if you can't go online and look at the Register of Electors? And they said, well, email us and we'll tell you. That's the answer. Remember that. Okay, yeah. Olive, you mind yourself. Thanks indeed, Olive. Geraldine and Claire. Geraldine, why did you vote no?
I voted no on... can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Hello.
Yes, loud and clear. Okay, I'll do three more voice messages while we get Geraldine up. Okay, go ahead, Geraldine.
Right. There's so many more, so many reasons. The Citizens' Assembly recommended that any referendum would be an opportunity to provide a wider concept of family. What they produced was not that. What they produced was a language abortion. And I am with all of the women who have spoken to you so cleverly about how many references to men there are in throughout the Constitution and how few there are to women. Is it to write a sentence which includes if a family definition is needed, which includes man and woman? I mean...
Okay, but I think accepted that the references to men was written at a particular time, and that every reference to man in the Constitution should be imported to mean female as well. But anyway, take your point. Okay, thanks, Geraldine. Where's Jill? And then I'll go to... Sorry, I have more voice messages before the break. More voice messages.
So I would have known. I thought strive was too weak a word when it came to people with disabilities. And on the other one, I voted no because of durable relationships and how that could affect migration into this country. We know people are allowed to bring in extended family on follow-on visas, and the loopholes there would be incredible. We would have illegal challenges all over the place. Anybody could say they had a durable relationship with anyone and bring anyone into this country.
Hi, Joe. I'm actually someone who voted... No, yes. I voted no on the durable relationship one for the very reason that I found the whole idea of durable to be way too vague. And I thought, you know, it could be a threat to marriage if someone was having an affair. And I just thought that would be really, really damaging, say, to the spouse who had been faithful in their marriage, that on the death maybe of their partner, they could be challenged because of their partner's other durable relationship that they did not know about. I just thought that was wide open. I voted yes on the care, mostly just as a working mommy that I hate the wording, but on reflection, I don't really believe in the yes, and I really would want just the mother to stay in the Constitution, but with much fairer and equal language around the value of mothers. But as I said, I voted yes, but I'm glad that it turned out to be no. Thanks. From Noel.
Hello. The thought just occurred to me a while ago that if, for instance, we did vote yes and yes, that the term durable relationships and the explanation we got that it would be decided in the courts... Sure, if the Supreme Court made a decision after the first challenge went to court, would that decision then not become precedent and case law and would be the guide for any other? So it would put an end to any debate. It seems not reasonable, because we've had so much debate over the last few weeks of experts on both sides, and we're still confused. So how could we get clarity after one court case which becomes case law?
Hi, Joe. I voted no, and was so thrilled on Saturday when I heard just how emphatically it was beaten. But my joy about this outcome really has turned to anger. I am absolutely furious at the disconnect that there is between our politicians and the general public. The general public are clearly much better informed than members of Dáil Éireann. And I feel absolutely furious that there was no imperative for this whatsoever. It was foisted on people. There was a very clear slant in a direction given to people that we were not cool if we didn't vote in the right direction. Well, clearly people have come back and said, this is not the way we want Irish society to move. But I'm so annoyed, particularly at a time when Irish children are basically being told that they have to put up with their back pain for years and years. And at the same time, some individual, in this instance, it's Roderick O'Gorman, can just on a whim decide that they want to change the constitution and put it to the people. Where is the responsibility for this? And why has 30 million been wasted on this? It's my money that's paying the taxes. And I'm absolutely furious that it has moved in this direction. I wasn't angry with the government beforehand, but I am furious with them now.
And in fairness, Roger O'Gorman would say that it was a government vote. And if there had been a vote on, for example, there being a debate, which was proposed by Malcolm McDill, Tom Clown and others, that vote would have been defeated because it would have been whipped, including people would have voted, TDs would have voted against, including those who are coming out now say they voted no, even though their political parties were yes, to Liveline, yes, to 087-4848-888 as the WhatsApp voice message.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Patricia, I asked people, and I'm looking at your very, very valid point here. I asked people why, just to tell us why they voted no, given such. But you say you voted yes, but you're now embarrassed.
I am.
Why?
I am normally the type of person that would pay attention and listen to things and read. I'm reasonably intelligent. I really admire all your previous speakers because they have really gone into it, which I didn't. I was lazy and I'm just disappointed in myself. I really am. I went with the government. I felt all the parties except for Angel were in favour of it. Mm-hmm. I trusted them. And okay. Isn't that bad that we can't trust our government? I mean,
but when
it's
did,
not
when
that
did
I'd
you,
always
when
trust
did you,
them.
What's, Patricia, when did your embarrassment set in?
When we began to hear that the no vote was so strong and people started explaining. Now, this is the thing. I'll admit, I wasn't listening to the prime time.
We
were listening, to the radio in the background and sometimes you just hear enough arguing and you just don't want to listen anymore.
And remember, in fairness to News Talk and ourselves and every other radio station, the broadcast regulations are extraordinarily strict in Ireland about referendum. You must give, on a stopwatch,
Patricia,
you must give equal time, down to the millisecond, and there's a whole committee in here who monitor it. So So what you got here, you got an interactive, a face-to-face debate, or else you got 10 minutes for the Taoiseach and then 10 minutes for Michael McDougall later on in a programme or whatever has happened.
Yeah.
So it's very strict in that sense. Very, very fair. Have you told others that you're embarrassed because you voted yes?
No, I'm living in the country and maybe there's nobody to tell.
Okay.
I told my husband I was embarrassed, that's all.
Okay.
But I would say it to anybody, I'm very open. But I just was lazy about it. And,
okay.
and that, that's kind of frightening, isn't it? That you'll take the word. I mean, why the hell did they bring up this referendum anyway? If they really didn't know. I mean, people were paid, highly paid, to put this together and to have the correct wording. And then it turns out that it was stupid and misinformed.
Well, given a number of people from the beginning of this programme have voted no, but voted no begin with on the durable, the number of people who have difficulty, couldn't understand, and by the way, couldn't understand, couldn't work out, couldn't see what the implications of the word durable were, and that was that sent the ballot into the bin for an awful lot of people. And why it's like these wordings were not drawn up on the back of a beer mat in the snow in the Stag's Head of a Thursday night. These were actually crafted. But anyway, we are where we are. Patricia, don't be embarrassed, please.
Well, I am. I'll never again do it. I will never again do it. That is for sure. If there's something as big as this, I will do my research. But, you know, sometimes you say, oh, my God, I just can't keep listening. And you think, this must be right. They're saying it's right. It must be right.
Well, in fairness, every major political party, with the exception of AIM 2.0, a lot of them are backpedaling now. But they all said yes, and they didn't vote for...
Isn't that scary?
Okay, Patricia, Guramina Mahoga, Patricia Murphy. Maria, good afternoon. Your point, please. No, why?
No. From the word go, and especially when I heard that the Women's Council were backing the yes vote to the hilt, and that would mean removing the word mother and woman from the Constitution, I said, over my dead body if it needs be, because I said those words have existed long before our Constitution, and that's a denigration of women. And for other women to denigrate the likes of us that voted no, well, they're not worth a you-know-what. Who are these people?
Okay, well, the National Women's Council are, as you know, primarily funded by the taxpayer, and that's as it is. It's a National Women's Council. You don't have individual members. You've groups who are members. You have a patient support group, abortion. I'm doing them in alphabetical order. We've 190 groups who are members of the National Women's Campaign, Abortion Rights Campaign, Action Aid Ireland, Adoption Rights, Age Action. I'm just doing the A's. It goes on and on. But they're all organisations. If you're a member of a trade union, you're invariably your trade union is a member of the National Women's Council. So they say only groups can become members. But they say, like, there is 190 groups who are members of the National Women's Council, Maria.
Yeah, but they were willing to allow the word mother and woman be taken out of the Constitution. That is totally wrong, Joe.
I just want to tell people, like, if you like the Sinn Féin Gender Equality Department, their members, SIP2 National Women's Committee, their members, Smashing Times International Centre for Arts and Equality, Soroptimus Ireland, Sounding the Feminists, Spun Out, who work with young people who are in difficulty, and they say having questions about their own sexuality, and Survivors and Farmings. All these are organisations. I'd say most people are member of one or more of them.
Yeah, but they had that agenda that they didn't mind the words being taken out of the Constitution, and that was my big worry, because I said, why? What is the agenda behind all this? And there has to be an agenda behind it. Why would do they want to take those two words out? We exist, whether they like it or lump it. And why should we have to be denigrated like that? Because it's a denigration.
But Maria,
why
does it matter? Why can we not just have gender neutral language? Everyone, Mary Lou MacDonald, in a speech in the Dáil, she doesn't want abortion in abortion legislation. She doesn't want the word woman used. It should be a gender neutral. Paul Murphy is the same. Various other that the language should be more inclusive. What's the harm in that?
I don't agree with it. I just don't agree with it. At the end of the day, as I say, the word mother and woman existed long before our Constitution was ever drawn up, and we have a right to be addressed properly.
Okay.
Gender-neutral people, fine, live and let live. But what's happening now, Joe, and don't try anybody telling me otherwise, we are now being dictated to. It's the minority dictating to the majority.
Okay.
And we have to stand up and fight for our rights at the end of the day. We have a right to be who we want to be. and to be called what we want to be called.
Well, that's the argument.
I don't see why anybody has a right to turn around and say, no, we're not going to call you a woman, we're not going to call you a mother. Okay. I don't agree with it. Totally and utterly don't agree with it.
Okay, Maria, thanks indeed. And remember, that's the argument. The trans community, we are entitled to be called what we want to be called and be treated the way we ask to be treated. Okay, Mike, good afternoon. Mike,
Hi, Joe, how are you? No, no. Number one, Joe, because the actual wording was totally ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
They completely rejected any recommendation from the referendum commission, and they allowed no debate in the Dáil. And then our masters in the Dáil assumed that we would be absolutely totally stupid and do what we were told. The wording in the CARE referendum could have been written by somebody in the Department of Finance to exempt the government and the HSE from paying for the care of anyone. It's appalling.
But the government, a number of government ministers did say if the CARE referendum was passed, it would mean more money for carers. They said they'd be obligated.
Not when it's locked in the constitution that the care is dependent on the family. Or if you're, for instance, if I was disabled, and thanks to God I'm a pensioner and I'm still going, if I was disabled, depends on my family to mind me. I don't think so.
Okay.
It shouldn't be dependent on siblings. It should not be dependent on family.
Were you from the get-go?
I would say no, not quite from the get-go, but as more and more information came out on the wording, I didn't know that the government had rejected the referendum commission's wording.
But I did see
what happened in the Dáil with the guillotining, and it literally jumped through.
No, what the referendum commission don't come up with wording. What the government, the argument I think you're thinking of is that the citizens' assembly wording was much more.
Much
more obligations on the state in terms of cares. Okay, Mike, go to Mila Mahaga, Joe at RT.ie 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Hi, I voted yes to both referenda, but my main issue is simply you had many people voting because they simply didn't understand the what was being proposed, which isn't a huge surprise because it was a very poorly run campaign by the government. But I am someone who studied constitutional law. I understood what was being proposed, even though, as I say, it was far from perfect. It would have introduced new articles into our constitution, which are greatly needed and which would have improved the constitution. And my point being is that in a referendum like this, if you don't understand what's being proposed, then just don't vote.
I voted no in the referendum. As regards the position of the mother in the constitution, why give up a constitutional right for mothers to stay at home if they wish to mind their children? And as regards the proposed care amendment, I disagree that it is the family's responsibility to care for disabled family members and not the responsibility of the state.
Jill is in Cork. Jill, why no, no?
Hi, Joe. Yeah, I just disagreed with the words, the mother being removed from the constitution. I thought that was completely wrong. I really agree with all the other ladies who've been on. It's very worrying the direction that they're going in. And like for me, a mother is a mother. It doesn't matter if she's a married mother or a single mother, a widowed mother. You know, she's a mother, and that word should not be removed from the constitution, or the word father. Like I just felt that was really wrong. And the durable relationship, well, that's like everyone has said, it was just a bit of airy fairiness with that. And with the carers, I don't have any connection with carers myself, but I listened to carers, and I think it was little, you know, it was lip service and a bit of window dressing and quite insulting to carers, that wording. But I'm absolutely, like another caller said, I'm absolutely furious with this government on this referendum. And, you know, the money they've spent holding it, they have not listened to the people and whoever has come up. There are people responsible who've come up with this wording. There is a committee out there who has come up with this wording and they should have to answer for it. And also, no one said anything about Leo Varadkar canvassing. He was canvassing on the day. You talk about the strictness of the media and polling. Leo Varadkar was doing Instagram on the day. Like, you know, technically, I don't know whether he was within 100 metres of the polling station or not. It doesn't matter. He broke the spirit of the law, really.
Okay, could go on for another 2 hours, but hopefully that's representative sound. Tommy O'Sullivan, broadcast coordinator Jane Galvin, producer Sean O'Gorman, Ray Darcy next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Elevate your bedroom with our fresh new bedding designs and colours, in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe at rte.ie.